Good evening.
Good evening.
I take it you're the first?
I believe so.
Okay. We'll be waiting.
Okay.
You have a good holiday?
Yeah, thank you. Did you?
I did, very much.
Right. I had to Zoom.
Braca.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We can begin. We will start with the L'shem Yichud. We are going to be studying the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, Parasha Vayera, Pasuk 262 and section 20 is where we will start. L'shem Yichud, Kud Shabarichu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urchimu, Udkilu, Udkilu, Urchimu, Le'akta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, Be'yichuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael. Pasuk 262. Amar lo yitubu leyom dina. Amar lo ha'itmar aval ilen b'yisudom b'yamor mora la yitubu. Ukra oka b'yitiv b'yifrit. Umelach sarefa kol arca lo chizara ulo tatiat micha wigomer asher kipach Hashem b'yayfo v'bach almato asher chafa apach Hashem b'alma b'ein b'yafo b'alma b'yate v'chamatao b'zimna b'zimin b'chabarichu l'yachayayo meitayayo. The translation. He asks him, will the people of Sodom rise in the future for the day of judgment? He responded, we have already learned this. Those people of Sodom and Amorah will not rise for judgment in the future during the resurrection of the dead. This is proven by the verse and that the whole land there is of brimstone and salt and burning, which Hashem overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Which Hashem overthrew means in the present world. In his anger means in the world that is coming. And in his wrath means at the time when the Holy One, blessed be he, shall resurrect the dead. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. This pasuk is explaining code words. This information is troubling. If souls are part of Hashem, then how do these parts of Hashem return to Hashem? One answer is that they reincarnated into animals and will be resurrected at the end of the additional 5,000-7,000-year period. A commentary by Bracha. Verse 262 explains that the people of Sodom and Amorah would not be participating in the future day of judgment upon the resurrection of the dead for all of mankind. According to the verse in the book of Devarim, the earthly land of Sodom was left in a state of sulfur and salt, whereby the ground cannot be replenished nor sown in seed. It is a barren land even into our day, where nothing can grow, not even grass. And the verse ends with the phrases explaining what is meant when Hashem is in the picture or orchestrating each event, as for the generation of Sodom and Amorah. questions that Bracha was raising. What is the lesson we are to observe from this spiritual ancient story related about the generation of Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboim into our day? Can our end of days prevent the same happening into our generation? What do you think? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Hello, I do have a question. It's in regards to last week, it was noted that those who are in Gehenna, they are not able to leave this place at all. So the question is, if they cannot leave, even though they've been purified, are they taken to other places in Gehenna? That's what was explained by you, that they could not leave. And I just wanted clarity on that.
What I said is they cannot leave until a righteous person arrives. And for that instant that he is there, he lifts them up and they leave with him. Or her, of course.
Right.
So well, they do have a way out, but they need to wait in order to pass judgment, or it's creating additional stress on the souls who are going into Gehinnom. That's their purpose. Part of the cleansing of the other soul.
Okay, thank you. But it raises another question for me, and it's this.
Right.
Give me 1 minute. The question is, if in Sodom and Gomorrah at that time, when you know they have been cleansed to such a degree, are they allowed to come back into the reincarnation of this world on the condition that they've been elevated by a righteous Zadik who was able to go and be there for them?
They are only elevated when they are completely cleansed from the Gehinnom.
Okay, so you're saying that they're not completely destroyed then. That's what you're saying.
Yes, that's correct. They're not completely destroyed. They will be cleansed completely in Gehinnom and then elevated to be reincarnated. That is their only way out, is that someone else takes them out.
Interesting. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Getting back to Pasuk 262, does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts?
Well, I know Sodom and Gomorrah, there was no righteous people other than, you know, Lot and his family. And so that was who was taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that a metaphor to this pursuit that we're talking about, that they will not rise until a righteous person comes and state they have merit to be elevated or to be taken out of Gehinnom?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's a metaphor. It is a description of what happens to people who allow themselves to be taken over by the negative system. Because those souls become so encrusted with dirt and crud, so to speak, they don't ever elevate, and they can reach a point of no return. But ultimately, it will all be returned when the full completion of all 50,000 years takes place.
Okay. But they won't have their...
Go ahead.
But they won't reincarnate in their own vessel. They'll be reincarnated into another vessel. They won't come back into their own body.
That's correct.
Has joined.
So different sparks of their soul will be reincarnated in somebody else's body, per se, to rectify it.
That's correct.
To rectify Adam Caldeen, to bring Adam's spiritual body back to a state of purity. Because we need to bring back all the sparks, and every soul is a spark that's fallen, so they have to come back.
That is correct. There could be no spark ever lost.
Right.
And that's really the understanding.
Okay.
Because every soul comes from, the root comes from the endless world. And there's an endless world before the Tikkun, which all of those sparks came down into our physical world. And then as they are corrected little by little, they will return. We all will return to the endless world. And the only difference between the endless world before the Tikkun and the endless world after the Tikkun is the removal of bread of shame. That's the correction. It's got to be done in this world.
Okay.
And now, this is a process, is it not, in regards to the bread of shame and being able to render and give to another? What I understand is an integrative process. So speaking about those who were caught in the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, they're, I know it was extreme selfishness to the nth degree, but my question is this. When they have gotten themselves to where they can re-enter the reincarnation will they not start off as a mineral or a rock before they become an animal? Because there is a process to that. There's a purpose for why we have the elements we have in this world. I just need clarity on that.
Well, you made the statement correctly, that there is a process, and when they reincarnate, if it is appropriate that they can learn through being reincarnated into a stone, then that's what will take place. They will be reincarnated to wherever they will need to be to learn the lessons to change who they are as part of the process.
Okay, so my next question is this. The one who was making comments about reincarnation, are they not, when if they are able to elevate to receiving a human body, they're not going to be attached to someone else, are they? They will have their own body, right?
They will have a new body when they come in being reincarnated. Yes, they will have a new body.
Good. All right, thank you, because it confused me, because I was thinking, why would they be attaching themselves to another body that may be alive? That's another area of the debunk, or debunks, or whatever. All right, thank you.
You didn't quite understand it. If someone does a good deed and that person is not a good person, then that person is not going to be reincarnated, that good deed gets rewarded to someone else. It gets transferred to someone else, and that person, that new person, is receiving that part of the body that was corrected by that good deed. So there is no action that ever gets disappeared. It just may not be if you were the one who did that action, if someone is a negative person and does a good deed, then those parts of the body that are being corrected by that good deed are going to, the body will die, but the good deed will be transferred to someone else.
So why would it be transferred to someone else, Hanok? That doesn't make sense, because that person's deed should still go to them. Well, that's the clarity I would like to have.
It does make sense, but not on human logic. Because you have to remember, everything is unified. So when I say someone is a good deed, the merit of that good deed goes to someone else. That someone else is coming from the same part of Adam. And the good deed that the person did was being done to correct that part of Adam. And so it isn't that it's just totally out of the blue. It's just going to another person for no reason. There's a method and a process at every level. It's just we don't see the connections, because we live in a world that is designed to be a world of separation. That's how we remove bread of shame, by overcoming the perception that the world is separated, that every person is separated. And it's one level to understand that intellectually, and it's another to actually live that reality, that you do the good deed to help the other person, not to receive anything for yourself.
Well, I know this.
I know you know that.
No, but I wanted to share a story. That's a true story of a near-death experience. There was a Jewish man from Israel, and it's online. He is of Jewish blood. He was not really involved with the spiritual component of being a covenant Jew. And he had a dear cousin who was concerned about his soul. And so he asked him to come with him, you know, to help clean the graves, you know. So he would do this over the weekends. And I don't know how long they did. I think for about maybe a year or two or whatever. And these are people who had been gone for hundreds of years, but they went and cleaned up his graves. And anyway, what happened was that this young man, he died. And he was taken immediately to the Beit Din. Plus, he had to go through this process. He had he was breaking certain sexual laws, right, that he had to feel the effects first before he reached the Beit Din. And then what was interesting, as they were reviewing his case, they had asked the audience, because there were souls, you know, there as witnesses or just in the crowd. You know, like we have courts here where people just sit in the crowds, right? Well, what was interesting, one of the judges asked, is there anyone who can give any word about this man's behavior of one good thing he did? And what was interesting, Hanok, an old woman stepped forward and she said, he did something for me. And they said, well, what was that? And he went ahead and kept my grave clean and bringing flowers and making it very beautiful. And he did this for quite a while. And I was blessed because of his actions. When she came forward like that to testify to him, then the court said, good. Now we can send you back to the earth. You understand why you came here, what you need to do. And they gave him clear instructions of what he had to do coming back into this world. And that was to reclaim the spiritual part of the covenant of being a Jew, even though he had chosen not to. He understood that, and this young man was so, you know, humbled by this, because he was married, and his wife was pregnant with, I think, their second child, You know, he had just young children. So there was a concern there that due to that one act of, you know, tzedakah, that we don't receive reward for at all until the next world, that he was given that allowance. That's why in my question, you know, what you're saying to me doesn't match up, which is a real actual experience by this young man when he came back to his life again. Of course, you know, he went to the rabbi that he trusted, to his cousin, and shared his experience. And then the rabbi led him to help him how to make these new adjustments in his lifetime. But he came back with much gratitude, but better understanding how to do the walk and what it meant to be a covenant son of father who is walking as an Israelite. So anyway, that's the true story, Hanok. So saying that his merit would go to someone else, his merit didn't. His merit was claimed by the one he served, not knowing this person at all. So
yes.
Anyway.
But there are other people who don't have that near-death experience and don't get to be sent back. And those people have to be cleansed in Gehinnom, but their merit goes to someone else. It is written by the Ari in the Book of Reincarnation, and that's why I mentioned it's not a question of we can understand it. Each individual situation, each individual person is judged as what is the best thing for them. And for some, it will be that their merits go to other people, but their souls will be cleansed in Gehinnom, and then they'll re-enter into the reincarnation process. And others are sent back as part of this lifetime. It's a whole. We don't understand all the complexities of those things, and human beings try to simplify them so that we can understand them, but they can't understand. Ultimately, they go to a Bet Din, and that Bet Din records the decree, and that decree gets implemented, some to be returned as a near-death experience, and some to be sent to Gehinnom, having lost the merits of whatever good deeds they did in that lifetime. But there is a rationale to all of it. We don't see the full picture to be able to understand that.
Okay, I accept that. But when I came out from that experience, I know, was his sharing of his story actually becomes an alert and a warning for all of us to be mindful of the mitzvot that we perform and never knowing that a certain mitzvot may actually be to a merit that may help your soul in a way that we have no understanding. And also, the added point is still Hashem's mercy for all of his light children who are here in this world experiencing duality and the experience of feeling what it means to be separated, to me is just very humbling to know we have such great love surrounding us in that capacity. Anyway, but thank you. I like the clarity. Thank you.
You're welcome. Malka, were you satisfied with the answer I gave, or did you want to go further with it?
I think the whole purpose of each of our souls is to do many misfolds, and some, like she said, we don't even know that we're doing, and we do it, and we're getting, you know, our merits counted to the soul and the cleansing. And I think the bottom line is that we want our soul to be cleansed as much as possible when we pass on to the other world. It'll help our time in Gehinnom, and we won't, I think, experience pain level if we don't do anything, you know, if we're wicked and so forth and so on. And we want our souls to be elevated. That's why we have to strive every single day to walk in truth and walk in Hashem's ways. So our soul will be complete when we do get cleansed, and all parts of our soul, every spark of our soul can be used in the spiritual levels wherever it is needed. You know, we may contain our own sparks, but then we all sin. We're all sinners. So we won't be 100% righteous, you know. In the days of the ancient days, yes, there were some that were just brought up. Moshe, Elijah, and so forth and so on, because they were truly cleansed of their souls in their physical body, the soul in their physical body. So I totally agree with the explanation and what Barack said, that we have to strive for that every single day. And we do fall short. We're human beings. We live in a physical world. And I think the bottom line is to have a complete soul, complete cleansing, a complete soul of great, great merit, you know. And we do strive. One day we do very well. The next day we kind of fall down some. But every day we can get up and strive to do that again, to gain the merits that we lost the day before or the year before, however long we have on this physical world. So, and that's my thought pattern, you know, and by all means, I don't achieve it every day, you know.
All we can do is strive to do it. And eventually we will succeed in achieving it. But the main effort, the main issue is to take that first step, to strive to do it, and then Hashem will carry us the rest of the way. We just have to take the first step.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to take the first step. And if it wasn't difficult, we would never remove bread of shame. So it's good that it's difficult, but it's hard for people to accept that.
Does it become easier, Hanok, as you grow in Torah knowledge?
No.
Does it make it a little bit? It does it? Okay.
No.
That's good to know.
The higher you grow spiritually, the stronger the negative inclination becomes. So that it's
constantly balancing
your level. So it's never going to be easy in this world.
Wow.
Now, nobody should take that statement and then get depressed because, oh, how horrible it is to leave. But that's what sometimes people feel.
It's discouraging to know that no matter how high you strive spiritually, as you are integrating, working with others and helping others of what you understand, and you work as a partnership to keep the bread of shame from not increasing, and then you have to continue to look at your yetzer hara. Surely, Hanok, there has got to be some level in this process that the yetzer hara inside of us is diminished to a certain degree, or at least held into a balance. That's where I understand that our study comes in, Torah study, all the process is important for this, isn't it? Otherwise, why do anything?
It's always in balance. That's what people don't understand. The Torah says that Hashem hardened Pharaoh's heart. And we perceive that as, oh, that's a horrible thing. It's really negative. And how could Hashem do that to Pharaoh? But the Kabbalah explains that the term hardening his heart meant it brought him back to the level of balance when he would look out of his window and see his country destroyed, and he would listen to all the people crying out to him to save them. Because of all the things that Hashem was doing. And he couldn't help them. And so he, you know, all of those mixed emotions was in this human being that's named Pharaoh. And what Hashem did was cause him to forget, on one level, just to forget these things. So that when he was talking to Moses, he was in balance. He would do what he wanted to do. He would choose his path of free choice. And in his case, the hardening of his heart was when he was brought back to balance, his overwhelming inclination was to do evil, to be selfish, to be concerned only about himself. So it's always in balance. But again, we don't see the full picture. So by not seeing the full picture, we don't understand what that balance is.
Well, I like your illustration with Paro and Moshe and that balancing process. That gives understanding for myself as I understand the stories, these spiritual stories that are guidelines to help deepen our awareness. That's how I look at it. But thank you. Very good example.
You're welcome. We're about out of time. Does anybody else have any questions? I believe there was a third person who joined.
No question.
No questions.
Thank you.
Our later class tonight is the Ari talking about the four species. I think you're going to find it very interesting if you choose to join us. You all have a beautiful evening.
So what time is the class tonight?
Thank you. Thank you.
It's 7 o'clock West Coast time, which is
right, 8
o'clock your time.
All right, thanks, and shalom. Bye-bye.